Accession number 21104, Reel 5.
Hubbard, Reel 5. So you were saying that you lived off the land?
Yes.
Yeah, so what did you find in Antwerp?
Well, even before that, even right from Normandy, what we did, we had, it were all dried food. You know what I mean? It were dried potatoes, dried onions, and they came in brass-coloured tins like that, you know, with a hole in it. So we take the hole out, throw them away, you see. We used to throw them away. And we were to fill it, not from the top, about that far, with sand. And we got, I'm talking about me and my mates. We got these here, white buckets, what do you call them?
Enamel
buckets. We had a white enamel bucket full of fat.
Fat.
And we had to pour petrol on this sand, and you could light it at night, because there weren't no big flames. You had to come up, no smoke come up, nothing. All you had were a little flame about like that, going like the coppers. You just put the bucket on, get the fat fried, run round. Any chickens, or pigs, or anything like that, we used to chop them and carry them with. It wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Any spuds, anything. And that's how we lived.
And you just fried it up?
Well,
in the fat.
I used to skin the chickens. I don't believe in plucking anything, I just skin it. Because it's quick, it's about a 2 minute job. Then gut it. And once you get this fat, with the blue flat smoke coming off it, you put it in, and your chicken's done in. We could get 3 chickens in that bucket. Yeah. And we used the old chicken. Yeah. And that, or pork, or whatever. But beef, plenty of beef about, but you couldn't count that about. But that's how we lived.
Yeah.
And out these here, 12-man packs. I used to always fly for the treacle pudding. There were everything in them. Everything in them. We lived very well, actually. The sausages in tins, shaped like Toblerones, so they put you exactly around the tin and in the middle. And the bacon was in tins. And you'd pull the paper out, and it came out with the paper. Well, it was beautiful. We lived like fighting cocks.
Especially compared to the people at home.
Oh, blimey, yeah. I put on weight, I did. I was quite big, I really were. We lived.
What were you, about 20, 21 now?
I was 21.
Yeah. It's a hungry age, isn't it?
Yeah. Eat? Oh yeah. My God, yeah.
Living outdoors as well.
Yeah,
A bit of feeding.
Yeah, but you see, the beauty of being frontline troops, you never saw a civilian. And if you came across a farmhouse, you can guarantee if you went in the summer, the shelves would be full of jars of pears, apples, cherries. I'd even add eggs, and now my mum used to do this. Put it in, what they call it, something in glass.
Ising glass.
There'd be them in ising glass, in like a big colander. Like a basket.
Yeah.
In this. What? We live like that. And we used to get the plates and eat off the plates. We didn't wash up. And we didn't wash up, throw it away. We lived very well.
Yeah.
We did.
Did you meet any civilians?
Only if you go in the town.
Yeah.
Because I used to, well, you can understand, we used to go away, aren't we? I mean, you would, wouldn't you? If you got two armies going at one another, you go, good to spare. And but we live very well without the cooks. Never saw our cooks.
So the Manchesters are on. You're on one side of the canal in Antwerp.
Yeah.
Firing, picking up Germans.
And
for about a week.
I think so. I think we were in Antwerp for about a week. But where did we go next? I know we went through a place called Brie, Liège, Ghent. We went through Liège to a place called Brie, with Fort Royce in Brie, into T Junction, turn left, and we stayed in a farm there, because the fighting was just, that was on the borders of Holland, that was on the borders of Holland.
So there was a bit of fighting at Brie then?
Yeah, Liège.
What was going on at Brie? That stopped you a bit, did it?
No, we went straight through Brie. And I can't think the name of the place.
Uh-huh.
It was only like a pub. A farm come pub it was, on the left hand side, and we were fighting opposite that, and we were dug in. Behind the hedge, opposite this place. And the guns drove back until, like, we moved then, and then we had to turn left and go along this road, and we came to the Dutch border. Boy, memory. Because we went like that, you know. Where did we go from there?
Never mind, I mean, we can go on.
Was it Market Garden?
Could be, yeah. So what did you see at Market Garden then?
We went straight through, well.
Right. So you knew, I mean, Market Garden was a big, long planned thing, wasn't it? When did you hear that there was going to be this airborne invasion?
When we were lined up, just outside Eindhoven. Uh-huh. That's right, beyond the tanks. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we were. Uh-huh. And I'm sure that happened the next job.
So what did they tell you about it before?
We got to make a 64-mile dash.
Yeah.
Beyond the guards armoured. To get over these bridges. And they said there's three bridges. There were seven. Have you seen this on here, the bridge so far? Mm-hmm. Well, you know Nijmegen Bridge? Mm-hmm. And they've got this thing underneath to blow it up. Mm-hmm. Poppycock. Mm. There wasn't one of them bridges mine.
Right. So you tell me what happened to you.
We went straight across them.
So you went straight over the bridges?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Grove Bridge was taken by the Americans.
Yeah. Which bridge did you go over?
Well, there's seven bridges altogether that you had to cross. But they're the big main ones.
Right.
Those three. We went over the Grove Bridge. No, we were lined up getting ready to go. And I'm having a wee facing a Brengon carrier, mm-hmm. and it's getting dusk. I turn round, there's a Jerry with his rifle, and he's giving it me. I thought, God. So, all right, I took his rifle. I took him, because there were loads of brass hats flying about, you know. Even General Horrocks were flying about, you know, to me. And so I couldn't, you know, I couldn't, impossible. I had no chance, you see. You better take him back to the, where the Red Caps were.
Military police.
I said, I'm not, I ain't going that far back. Well, what, I said, I'm not. And there happened to be an RAC lorry going that way for something. So I stopped him. I said, hey, take him back. Yeah, okay. And they took him back. Because I've got no intention of taking him back, no way. Mm. But that's the only prisoner I ever took.
Right. So when you said you had no choice, if you'd had a choice, would you have shot him?
Oh, yeah. No problem. But there were too much brass about. Mm. Oryx was going up and down, and you know what I mean. Mm. So you can't. Yeah. You can't do that.
Right. So they had you lined up, and what did they, else did they tell you about what was going to happen?
They told us where we were going.
Did they tell you about the airborne?
Yeah, they told you everything.
Yeah. So what did you think? Did you think this was going to be the big turning point?
No, just a job. It was just, but my God. I don't know why they sent tanks up there. Because they slowed us up.
Did they?
Yeah.
So you knew where you had to go. Had to do a dash.
Yeah, behind the tank.
Yeah, but you were behind the tanks all the way.
And the tanks were getting knocked out, and the one behind it was shoving them off the road, and then going, and then another one would get knocked out. Well, you see, them Brengon carriers have got a lot of clappers.
So where did you get to eventually?
Well, we went straight across the Grave Bridge. The Yanks waved at us like, you know, we went straight across. We went straight across 158 Brigade, I'm talking about now. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether all the division went across, I don't know. Mm. We went straight across that Nijmegen Bridge. Yeah. And we came to a place called Elst. That was about 6 kilometres from Arnhem. Mm-hmm. And then we were told to withdraw back over the Rhine. Come on, 6 kilometres go. The Germans had cut the road that we come up, they cut it. So we gained no supplies. And they cut it twice. You've got to go back. And we were 6 kilometres from Arnhem. You know. Well, we were big sick, I'll tell you. Mm.
Who told you? Did your sergeant come and tell you?
Oh, yeah, yes. It come from way up there somewhere. So we went through this side and we dug with machine guns in. And lots to cover the paratroopers trying to come back.
Right.
Mm. And on here, the bridge too far. It shows you Yankees waiting for boats to come up to cross and all the rest. Hogwash. Mm. Hogwash.
Mm. So, did you see any of the planes?
Oh, yeah, of course I did, yeah. Yeah.
Where were you when they were coming in? I mean, did you see them coming in?
We were going up the road.
You were going up the road?
Yeah.
Must have been quite an impressive sight.
Oh, yeah, but we've got Jerry's both sides out to do. But the typhoon was covering us. Mm. Oh, my God. You've never seen such a... But...
So it was a disaster, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they dropped them no more from the target, didn't they? They? Dead. No more from the target. They dropped them. Poor devils. I shall never know why. I shall never know why they stopped us. The whole brigade were there, 158. I've got a map somewhere. Where we were, the Rhine's here, we were spread out over the Rhine, Elst were there. We were in Elst. Well, I shall never know why they pulled us back.
So did you realise that it had all gone wrong?
No.
And they sent you back?
No. No. Because nobody tells you anything, you know, Naomi. Nobody tells you anything. You do and that's it. But, and they pulled us out of there. And where did we go? Oh, I know where we went. We were pulled back to Brussels to get ready to go in the Reichswald Forest.
So you went to Brussels?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Brussels like? Because it hadn't been liberated, had it?
Yeah, it had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guards Army Division.
But not long before you got there, was it?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, right.
But we didn't actually stay in Brussels. Mm. We stayed as our company, like I say, we were always at company strength, not battalion. Our company stayed at a little place called Jambo, about 10 miles from Waterloo. You know, with the Battle of...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that,
yeah?
Well, Jambo, it's to the east of Waterloo. And we stayed there because we were going to be re-equipped and get ready to go through the Reichswald. I think it was about the 18th of the summer.
Sorry, that's near enough.
The 16th. Up sticks, down to the Battle of the Bulge.
So what did you know about the Reichswald before you were sent there? You know,
well, we didn't know about the Reichswald.
No.
We didn't know
they
where
tell
we
were. You what you
oh, no, they just pulled us back.
No, right, okay.
But we didn't know that. So we had to go down there then. And we were there till what? December. Yeah.
So, when you first went to the Reichswald, what did you see and where did you go?
Goodspeak, that's what it was called. The start line was Goodspeak.
Which is what, a village or...?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big cemetery there. And a nice museum, a good one. So, if ever you get a chance to go Goodspeak, go and see the cemetery. The cemetery looks like a big... parachute.
Right. So when you got there in 1944, what did you...
45.
We're into 45 now.
Yeah.
Right. So
the start line was Goosebeak.
Mm-hmm.
To go in the Reichswald.
Right.
Well, that's what that's all about, what I'll give you. The barrage, it was... true. It was terrible, even for us.
Because you were pretty battle-hardened by now, weren't you?
Oh, aye. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was the noise of it, was it the...
Oh, that barrage, well. I've got a photograph of it, if you've never seen it. The start of that battle, when you went in the forest, when we... The 15th Scottish were going on the edge of it down there. The 51st were going on the edge of it around there. and we had to go through the middle of it. And it was 9 miles long and 5 wide. And it was that deep in sludge. So we wanted a dispatch rider. Because, like, with all this mud and that, you know. Hubbard, take a bike. I thought, oh my Christ. And two more took a bike, Chopper and Benny. Three of us took bikes. In this, it was. I can say it now on here, don't matter. It's all gone. And I'm skidding and sliding all over the blasted place I am after we got in. And the tanks couldn't move. They were bogged down, they couldn't shift.
Where did they send you on the bike?
Into Rochwell.
Right, from Company HQ, was this?
Or oh, aye.
Yeah, into the forest.
Right.
What was your job?
I had to bring messages back if they need to come back right. Uh-huh. So, I'm slipping and sliding all over the place. And my mate Walton, Wally Walton, he was driving the Bren gun carrier. He stopped to me, drop it in the floor. What? The bike? So, I dropped it in the floor, jumping here. I jumped in there, went straight over it, and it went like that in the mud.
Disappeared.
Casualty. I thought, right, thank Christ for that. And anyway, we went in there. And we, in there, you couldn't use machine guns. No way. So you went in as infantry. Fair enough. And by the way, I've not told you. As soon as a British soldier could pick a German machine gun, Schmeisser up, he picked one up. I had one all the way through. My Sten gun went.
Straight away?
Yeah. I had a Schmeisser, because as you went forward, you could always pick German ammunition up with a bucket full. Yeah. And most of them did that. And I remember Oryx going by us just before we went over the Nijmegen Bridge. And Oryx said, what a dirty, scruffy shambles we were. Because we got... You've seen it on here with the khaki uniforms. Oh, what? We hadn't had a shave. We got German flak jackets on. You could tell which blasted army we belonged to. We looked a right scruffy rabble. But when you see it on here, you don't see out of that.
So you were going into the
Reichswald. Went into the Reichswald, that was terrible. Because anybody shot and killed fell. And they just went in the mud. And they're digging them out now, you know. I think it took us, I don't know how long it took us. Ages, it seemed. And in this Reichswald forest was Maginot Line. And there were bunkers in there, there was gun pits in there, there were everything in there. Everything. And you'd be behind this tree and the Jerry would be behind next one.
So it was really close to cat and mouse.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible it was.
You must have had a lot of casualties.
I was dead, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. On your carrier?
Yeah. Oh, aye. Yeah. Mm. Well, the carriers didn't go. Couldn't get any carriers, so.
Right.
I don't know who were bright-eyed and bushy-toed thinking you the only things that could get in there, and these woods have got rides. You know what I mean, don't you? Well, the only things could get in there were these weasels, and they brought ammunition up and took the wounded out, and they were brilliant. They were, they were brilliant. But any other track vehicle, no way. So we went through there as infantry.
So what were the living conditions like there?
I can't describe it, Lord.
Wet, cold?
Yeah, wet, cold, 2 foot of mud. What are you to try and find at night, if you could? It was like a tree that was growing, and about that far up the tree.
18 inches up.
About like that. If it was a wide hit, a fork, you'd put your backside down in the mud and put your neck in that V. But you got no sleep. Yeah. You got no sleep.
And I mean, I suppose a lot of the fighting would go on right out during the night.
Oh, it was. But what you used to try and do were leapfrog one another. You know, they were there and you tried to go beyond them, and that's how you went on, you know.
Well, you used to creeping beyond them. Yeah,
well.
Sort of thing, yeah.
But, it's indescribable. I can't describe it.
Yeah. You must have lost mates then.
Oh, right?
Yeah. You remember them going.
Yeah. And that's what rubbed me, because that chap on that machine gun, on that Parnell, that's where he got killed. And that's why he got up my nose when I saw that.
Were you near him when he was killed?
Yeah. And, terrible it was. We went about 40 miles, I think, like that. But once we got through, and we got to Gok, we were that shattered and worn out. I think we took Gok, and the 51st Armoured Division were down there taking Aspudden. And after they'd taken Aspudden, the 15th Scottish were up there taking Cleve. That's it, Cleve. 15th Scottish were taking Cleve. 51st Armoured Division were taking Aspudden and Aspudden Bridge. We took Gok. And then the 51st Armoured Division came through us at Gok. And I think we stayed there for about 4 days. And that's where that... We were sitting there having a cup of tea with our some stew and a cup of tea. And that's where he gave me that thing that you've got.
From the Daily Herald.
Yeah. That's where... He jumped out his jeep, went like that to me, jumped back in his jeep and went. Oh, I'll keep that, like, you know. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did keep it.
Do you think Manchester's part in the Reichswald has been properly remembered now?
The Manchesters are never mentioned anyway. Because, like, we were support. You got one company supporting three infantry battalions. That's 3,000 men being supported by 130. So we just lost. We just lost in the action, if you know what I mean. But if ever you see 158 Brigade anywhere, like doing anything, then my company would be with them.
Right.
A company was would be with the 160 Brigade, and the other company would be with 71 Brigade. Mm-hmm. And that's how we, but that's, that was the beauty of like fighting at company strength. Mm-hmm. You didn't have all the officers and all this cape, you know what I mean, don't you? We never had any of that, we ours. They were lovely fellas, ours. And I always remember it. Captain Rees when we took Gok. It said, lads, whatever you see in front of you and you want it, it's yours.
Bet you did. Roy Hubbard, end of reel 5.
God,